Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Good evening or good day.
Tell me what you want to be when you get older.
Fashion designer.
I want to be a basketball player.
I want to be one of the best singers.
We know it's the time to tell me what you want to be. Well, good evening or good day, boys and girls. We know that it must be Sunday because it's the time that the family and the friends are all home because there's no school or work. We're just relaxing and getting ready for the next day. So as bedtime stories, it's a family tradition with mommies, daddies, nanas, grandpa, poppy, aunts and uncles, babysitters, and we know, boys and girls, people who just care in making bedtime fun. So bring your heart, because this week we're going to do something real special with your parents and also babysitters. Because this time we're looking at Black History Month. And it's exactly what is so important what the song talks about, Tell Me What You Want to Be. And that's what we're going to be doing all the time because of the tradition and because of people from yesterday who we will talk about made it possible so that everyone, boys and girls, or doesn't matter what color or race that you come from, you can be anything that you want to be. And, of course, we do have that very special person, Starfish. Starfish. What are you
Hello, boys and girls. How are you doing this evening? I'm so, so very excited that today is my favorite day of bedtime stories.
Yeah, it is a special time. Because of the fact that it's February, and February is Black History Month. And we're going to be having a very special guest, and that's Edna Duncan Smith, our youth co-host. So she'll be joining us very soon.
I'm right here.
Oh, she's here.
Hi.
Oh, my goodness. Say hi to the boys and girls.
Hi, boys and girls. How you guys doing tonight?
Hello, Edna. Welcome back.
Hi.
And a very special month, February, because that's going to be telling us about what kinds of contributions we've done for the years past and the years ahead. And it really has helped even you because you've now been on stage and doing all kinds of stuff, and that's going to be one of the books you're going to be reading pretty soon, Little
yes,
Diva.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Everyone has to get, first of all, we must get our blankies, our bottles, our toothbrush, our slippers, and water to make sure that you hydrate. And get ready for bed, because, of course, we will provide the stories.
Yes, yes, Nathan.
Can you imagine, boys and girls, that I know that even for bedtime, even for adults, they have PJs for us with feet in them because it's getting kind of cold now, the winter coming and everything. So my PJs that I like, of course, are pink. So I don't know about Ed. Maybe she can share with what kind of PJs he likes to wear. And Starfish, you can tell us about what you do with your rays when you're trying to put them in the PJs.
My favorite PJs is my dance shirt and my dance shorts from dance class.
Oh, that sounds so comfortable, because I know in dance you could be able to move and groove all around, so definitely it would be a great attire for going to bed.
Yeah.
And do you have a toothbrush and slippers?
Yeah, my slippers are like dogs. It says beware of attitude. And and my toothbrush is purple. It's just an automatic toothbrush, so yeah.
Oh, wow. I have a turquoise one. And I don't know if Starfish has a toothbrush.
Oh, yes. I have a toothbrush with a shell, a seashell at the end.
That's nice.
Yes. And all this talk about getting ready for bed and before we go to bed, of course, brushing our teeth, lets us begin with our favorite song to jump right into it, Rubber Ducky by the Cedar Mount Kids. Are you ready, boys and girls? Here we go.
Here I am in the bathtub again. I got my soap. I got my Superman scrub brush. I got my loofah. I got my shampoo. I got my washcloth. And I got a big old fluffy towel to dry myself when I get out. But you know what else I got to make bathtub time the best time of my day? I bet you know what it is. I bet you got one too. It's my special pal. Let's sing about him now. Rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. Vo-vo-fo-dee-o. Rubber ducky, joy of joy. When I squeeze you, you make noise. Rubber ducky, you're my very best friend. When I make my way to the tubby, I find a little fella who's cute and yellow and chubby. Rubber dub dubby, rubber ducky, you're so fine, and I'm lucky that you're mine. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. Alright, y'all, let's get wet.
I know, Ed, you could probably sing this song about a rubber duck. Here we go.
Rubber ducky, come over here. You are the dirtiest birdie I've ever seen. Come on over here, I gotta wash behind your ears. What do you mean you don't have any ears? I know it's gonna tickle, but I gotta get you nice and clean. Know what I mean?
Every
day when I make my way to the tubby,
squeak,
I find a little fella who's cute, yellow and chubby. Rubber dub dubby, rubber ducky, you're so fine. Awfully fond of rubber ducky, I love a whole pond of rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you.
Get that towel all around you and make sure you dry it off. What a mess. I bet your have water all over the place.
I certainly do.
Me too.
Right. And can you imagine, Eden, we have two arms to wash and dry ourselves, but Starfish has six.
Lucky.
It certainly makes washing everything a lot easier and faster.
I bet funner, too, or more fun.
And the other thing, too, that probably happens, too, Eden, with you, when it's time to go to bed, you're either really, really tired and you can barely keep your eyes open, or either you're asking all kinds of questions. Can I have some more water? Can I watch this program? Can I do my game a little bit more?
Definitely. I never want to. When I'm really tired, I never want to go to sleep.
Yes, that's probably like Starfish, too.
I know, when you try to fight it, but one eye starts to slowly close, but then you try to do something, maybe dance around to keep those eyes open. It's a struggle.
Definitely is.
But, you know, the other thing, too, that now that we're all clean and we had our water and we've done all those kinds of things to prepare ourselves for bedtime and we have our favorite pillow, that we're going to be talking about Black History Month. It's a very special time for everyone, regardless of whether you are African American or any other race. It's always fun to know about other races and other ethnic groups. And before you can be able to do some things, it's real important to know what came about before it happened. Now, the story that you're going to be reading is talking about Little Diva. And in order for Little Diva to come on stage, a lot of things had to happen. So let's start first on Little Diva, and we'll be talking about that a little bit. And Eden's going to read this very special story that talks about a real person. But let's play the CD. Are you ready for it, boys and girls?
I'm ready.
And
is there anyone out there that wants to give a shout out? Anna, would you like to give a shout out to your friends?
My friend Luke Mir, his birthday is tomorrow.
Wow. Oh. February.
I wish we would have known that, because you know we always play certain songs. We'll have to play that next week.
Yes. February is certainly a special month for many, many birthdays.
Very.
Yeah, so what again is the name? I'm sorry, can we say what the name is one more time? Shout it out so that they know that it's them that's having a birthday.
Happy birthday, Lubomir.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Lubomir, from us too. From Aunt Jewel's bedtime story. And hopefully you'll be getting ready for bed and listening to the story, and by the end of it, you will be sound asleep. But let's talk about this wonderful, wonderful book, and let's play this song called Little Diva. And I think that Ed knows a little bit of something about being a little diva, or even what a little diva is. Or maybe she might want to even guess what it is before we play the song.
Little Diva is a star.
Wow. It's almost like me.
But
yes.
Hello?
Yes, but what about a little diva?
Oh, it's not just any star. It's a Broadway star.
Oh, so it's not a star in the sky.
Nope.
Or a starfish in the ocean?
No, ma'am.
It's a star you can see.
Yes.
And let's play that song to get ready for it, and then you'll describe what a little diva is in your book. So let's hear the song. Are you ready to hear it?
I'm ready.
I know that Tony's ready, and so is Susan, and I'm almost sure that Eden is ready.
I'm ready. My name is Nana. And I'm a G.I.C. That's a diva in training. Divas can act, sing, and dance. When I grow up, I want to be a diva just like my mommy. She's a real diva. A Broadway star. Mommy says divas have to work very, very hard from morning till night. That sounds like fun to me. Divas need lots of rest. So even when I'm sleeping, I'm in training. Maybe that's why it's so hard to wake up in the morning. Right, Hunchy? DIT starts day with a healthy breakfast. Mommy takes the best in the world. Chicken applesauce, scrambled eggs with cheese, and strawberries on the side. My favorite, even when she makes lemon tea with honey, because it's good for my voice. My Nana says you don't need any help with that department. Nana says, quiet, like quiet DIT. After breakfast, I got dressed. A real diva always wears outfits that are special and stylish and not like anyone else does. That's why I try on mommy's clothes. I turn on right and then the other. Mommy takes one look at me and says, "Work it, my little DIT." My Nana says, I'm making her dizzy. Now, I'm ready for my vocal exercises. Me, me, my, mo, mo. Up and down the scale. Hunchy enjoys me singing. Sometimes he even joins in. I finish just as mommy starts practicing her yoga. She loves
wow.
What we
do. That is a very powerful voice. So is that what a little diva does?
Yes.
Comes on really strong. Not meek, meek at all. Not a little tiny voice. Do you know that star fish? It is a voice that you just bellow out.
Oh, yes. And I certainly know Eden can make that voice loud and proud.
And obviously, costuming is very, very important.
From head to toe, you must look like a star.
So, Eden, are you going to read the story to the boys and girls? Are you going to tell them who wrote the book and who illustrated it? Are you all ready?
Hello?
Are you all ready?
Oh, yes.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear what a little diva is and who wrote it and also who illustrated it. Do you know?
It only says who wrote it.
Okay. Because they also, can you believe that the person who wrote this also is an illustrator?
Could be.
Wow, so talented.
Exactly, just like Eden is.
Thank you.
Curtains up.
So who wrote it? Tell the boys and girls.
LaShanze.
And it was illustrated by Brian Pickney. So I'm ready to hear the story. Are you ready?
Definitely.
Okay, let's hear it.
My name is Nana, and I'm a DIT.
Ooh.
That's a diva in training. Divas can act and sing and dance. And when I grow up, I want to be a diva just like my mommy. She's a real diva, a Broadway star. Mommy says divas have to work very, very hard from morning till night, but that sounds like fun to me. Divas need lots of rest, so even when I'm sleeping, I'm in training. Maybe that's why it's so hard to wake up in the morning. Right, Hunchy? DIT starts the day with healthy breakfast. Mommy makes the best in the world. Chicken, applesauce, scrambled eggs with cheese, and strawberries on the side. My favorite. She even makes lemon tea with honey because it's good for my voice. My Nana says, you don't need any help in that department. Nana likes quiet DITs. After breakfast, I get dressed. A real diva always wears outfits that are special and stylish and not like anyone else's. That's why I'm trying on mommy's clothes. I turn one way and then the other. Mommy takes one look at me and says, work it, my little DIT. My Nana says I'm making her dizzy. Now I'm ready for my vocal exercises. Me, me, my, mo, moo. Up and down the scale. Hunchy enjoys me singing. Sometimes he even joins in. I've finished just as Mommy starts practicing her yoga. She likes when we do it together. She thinks yoga is very relaxing, but I still have a lot to learn because it's not very relaxing for me. Today, my mommy has a matinee, an afternoon show, and I get to go to the theater with her. I love it here. Actors make music on stage. The crew makes magic backstage. Everyone has a special job to do. DITs have to know all about what goes on, so I pay close attention. My favorite part backstage is in the wardrobe department. There's so many costumes and makeup and wigs and really feel true diva in there. All musicians are crowded down in the orchestra pit, which is in front of the stage and almost under it. Steve, the coolest guitar player, lets me try tuning up. He says it helps my ear. So why is everyone else covering their ears? Finally, the stage manager starts the countdown. I call out, places, and then it's showtime. I rush to my special DIT seat in the side of the stage so I can see everything. Here comes my mommy. Wow, she looks so different. It's magic for sure. At the end of the show, the actors take their bows. I've been practicing mine. Mommy says a real diva never bows too long. But I could bow forever. I imagine the day when the audience will clap and cheer. Nana, we love you, diva. You're amazing. But I have a long way to go before that day. Back home, I sing all the songs and repeat my favorite lines from Nana and Hunchy. Hunchy starts singing, but Nana says, hush, Hunchy. Let Nana sing. After dinner, Mommy has to go back to the theater for a second show. I really miss my mommy when she leaves at night. That's when I want her all to myself. But when Mommy goes, she kisses me on the cheek, my nose, my head, and my chin. Have sugar, apple, honey, strawberry, ice cream, sundae, dreams tonight, she says. Then we do the No Bad Dreams dance together. Hunchy and I curl up to sleep, and Anna gives me my milk. What a day! Divas sure do work hard. Tomorrow, maybe I'll make up my own show so Mommy can watch me. Work it, my little ZRT, she'll say. And I will. This little diva is on her way.
Wow.
Can you imagine? I wonder if that starfish, if that really is kind of true. Do you think so, Edna?
I do.
It sounds like a diva needs to work really hard, be determined to achieve her goals, or his goals. I mean, her goals.
Yeah.
And it's, and is that something like, because after all, you did Lion King, so is it really magical like that? Do you have to learn your lines? Is it very magical for the stage, the production, and costumes? I mean, what happens?
It is actually, because backstage, like, everything is put in one place so you get to see everything at a time. So it's like, it is really magical how everybody just looks different right after they put their makeup on and their costume and stuff. So, yes.
So you could really be able to relate to this.
Yes.
Well, boys and girls, here is something that was a dream for her. Here was something that was, what does she want to be when she grows up? And she got a chance to do it right now, which I know that some of you probably have that same thing. But it's wonderful that she was able to share that. And it was Black History Month, so all the trials and tribulations and the movement that helped everyone so that little girls just like Eden and others could be able to go on stage. And that's a great introduction, I think, for our next story that Eden will soon be reading too.
Yes.
Because we didn't even go into the part where you have to audition, you have to take dance lessons, you have to take voice lessons, all these things in order to prepare. It just doesn't happen overnight.
So that's so true.
Right. And I wonder, Star, do you have a certain song that can at least talk about how people have to get ready?
Yes, I do, Aunt Jewel. People need to get ready in order to be prepared. And as we know from Eden, preparation is key to become a star and to become a diva. Boys and girls, People Get Ready by Dionne Warwick.
Thank you.
Has their own different paths that they've created themselves, and they have their own personal train and their own motivation to keep that train keep going. And what does that take, Eden? Hard work and preparation, just like our superstar, Eden.
Thank you. Well, it's 8 o'clock now, and I have to go.
Right, so we're so glad that you were able to at least talk to us about the little diva and tell us about that. So we'll talk with you later, and thank you so much for joining in, Eden, and have a great day today.
All right, see you guys later.
Okay, you're welcome.
Sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And I want to read an excerpt from Heart and Soul, because it's the story of America and African Americans. And it's by Kedar Nelson. And just to read the prologue, just to get you into the state of mind of what was going on and why Black history is so important. Now, most folks my age and complexion don't speak much about the past. Sometimes it's just too hard to talk about. Nothing we like to share with you young folks. No parents want to tell a child that he was once a slave and made to do another man's bidding, or that she had to swallow her pride and take what she was given. Even though she knew it wasn't fair, our story is chock full of things like this. Things that might make you cringe or feel angry, but there's also part that will make you proud or even laugh a little. You got to take the good with the bad, I guess. You have to know where you come from so you can move forward. Now, many of us are getting up in age and feel it's time to make some things known before they are gone for good. So it's important that you pay attention, honey, because I'm only going to tell you this story but once. And that's what your grandparents will be saying to you. They don't want to repeat it. It's very, very difficult for them to let everyone know about. And that's when we have the Declaration of Independence. And liberty, when it begins to take root, is a plant of rapid growth. Now, that was said by George Washington. Now, all of these things happen before to make it very possible that all the boys and girls can be able to go to school with each other. It didn't matter what color or what race they were able to do. All the boys and girls were able to be anything that they wanted to be. Even have our first Black African American president, or the person that was the first person to even go into space. Lots of things that we were able to do. And one person that made this happen was Sojourner Truth. And I think we have a little song, too, to talk about that.
Yes, we do, Aunt Jewel. Sojourner Truth, boys and girls. Let's take the ride.
Thank you. the mountain. The moon was right behind her. She looked down the mountain at those who tried to stop her. The moon looked like a light, shined on Sojourner Truth, where she's going. You're invited to. An angry mob broke up a tent meeting. Sojourner's first thought was hiding. She fled to the top of a small rise of ground. It turned into a mountain when she turned around and sang a song. Sojourner told them all about being born a slave. They heard her out and then they went away. She was good on her feet, I guess. Kinda like you, Moby D.
Travel, and just like the train, it kept going and going to its destination, to its goal.
You're so right, Starfish. She was some woman, and we're going to hear about what she, how she was, and you just about had to be that strong in order for anything to change. And I know that boys and girls and moms and dads, you've made stands a lot of times to be able to make things change. And sometimes that often changes the direction. Well, this book is called Sojourner Truth, Step, Stump, Stride. That lets you know that something is going to happen. And it's by Adrian Davis Pickney and Brian Pickney. We just read about them a little bit ago from Little Diva. They were one of the illustrators. And in this case, this is a husband and wife team, and they made this book so special, and it just jumps out at you. And it was illustrated by Disney Jump at the Sun Books. So just because I just said that jumps right at you, that is the name of the publishing company. And we know that from Disney, they always make everything just jump off the page. Now, Sojourner was born a slave. Her master named her Isabella. Sojourner's mother, Mau Mau Betts, and her father, James Bumfrey, took a first look at their child and decided to call her Bella. Now, seeing her newborn cry was ringing in good news. Nothing quiet about that girl. Now, Bella grew quickly. She was almost 6 feet tall while still a child. Alone with her size, 12 feet, she had hands like hams, lots of muscles on her bones too, and no one dare pick a bone with Bella. She could plow, host, and haul better than any child her age. With her big-soled shoes, she could stump the beetles that tried to eat her master's corn. Now, Bella's strength and size made her valuable. She was sold away from her parents when she was 9 years old, and two more masters after that. That was the ugly way of slavery. Now, Bella hated being treated as property, and she hated sucking, boiling, hauling, and working all day for her master, John Dumont. Now, John Dumont knew how strong and capable Bella was. He promised to free her if she would work extra hard for him. Now, Bella wanted her freedom more than anything, so she stuck to it. she stepped right into it. She worked hard for many years. She polished DeMont's brass until it gleamed. She mucked his corn, his horse stalls. She jerked that DeMont's family butter twice as fast. Finally, Bella went to John DeMont, ready to be free. But John did not honor his promise. That's when Bella decided to run away. Now, in search of freedom, Bella ran. She fled like tomorrow was never, ever going to come. She covered some ground, child, she got gone. She refused to stop until she saw Hope. Now, Bella ran right up to Hope's front door. She came to a farm owned by a Quaker couple, Isaac and Marie Van Wagner. The Quakers were abolitionists. They believed in freedom for all people. Isaac and Maria offered Bella shelter. Now, when Bella's master, John DeMont, caught up with her, Isaac offered to buy Bella's service. It wasn't Bella's work that he wanted. He wanted to free her. Now, Bella's master took the money from Isaac, then he got gone. Now, right then, Isaac freed Bella. And even though Bella didn't have to run anymore, she set out on her own. Now, Bella went to New York City, where she could be truly free. And, oh, what that freedom ever was sweet. Freedom made Bella want to take the heels off her size 12, honey, 12, and kick them up high. Now, Bella celebrated her freedom by marching her feet straight to a job. Now, Bella worked as a maid. Now, a maid who made money for work she did. No more master. No more cotton to bale, beetles to stomp, or corn to chuck. Now, Bella soon learned that to celebrate freedom, she had to speak her beliefs. Now, for her, freedom meant helping others. Freedom meant putting her foot down for what she knew was right. Freedom meant she was traveled up and down the land to share her ideas. Now, that's when Bella changed her name. She gave her slave name the Boot and called herself Sojourner Truth. She said the name Sojourner was just right for someone who was just a traveler. And Truth, well, that's what Sojourner did best. She told it like it was. Now, Sojourner couldn't read or write, but she could sure speak her mind. And now she was free to go whenever she wanted to find folks who could help spread the word about freedom. She met many abolitionists, women and men, who spoke out against the slavery. Now, children out there, are you sleepy yet? Now, in her travels, Sojourner met a friend named Olive Gilbert. Olive was an abolitionist. She read the Bible to Sojourner. Sojourner memorized every word in that good book. She could recite the entire Bible, from the begets to the begets. Now, Sojourner told Olive all about her childhood as a slave. Now, Olive wrote about Sojourner's story in 1850. The narrative of Sojourner Truth, a Northern Slave, was published. Sojourner carried her book with her everywhere. She spoke about the unfair treatment of black people and women. Now, when Sojourner preached, she let her words fly, free as the highest dove in the sky, free as the sky itself. Sojourner's voice was packed with power. As she traveled, she learned even more about the meaning of freedom. She found that freedom is not a place. Freedom is the fire that burns inside. And Sojourner Truth, she was full of fire. Now, once when Sojourner was scheduled to speak at a rally, someone threatened to burn the building down. That didn't stop Sojourner. She said, "I will speak until it's ashes." Now, in 1951, Sojourner stumped to a woman's right convention in a church at Akron, Ohio. There was no rain on that day of that convention, child, but oh, was there thunder. Now, what struck that spot was strong and loud. It was Sojourner's step, stump, stride. There wasn't any big, black, beautiful preacher in that church. Yet the main question was, should women have the same right as men? Well, that was enough for her. And you can bet the men at the meeting had something to say about that. Most of the men were ministers. Like Sojourner, they knew all the words in the Bible. And same as Sojourner, these men were following their own stride. Now, one minister said that men should have superior rights and privileges because men were smarter than women. Ooh! Oh, no, he didn't. The next man to speak said that men should be allowed to boss women around because Jesus had been a man, and that God wanted men to rule the world. Then came two more speakers. The first one opened his Bible and said that women were lower than men because in the Garden of Eden, Eve had given in to that serpent and had eaten the apples of temptation. This minister friend said that women were too weak to deserve equal rights because they needed men to hold open the door for them, help them into the carriage and over the puddle. Well, that was enough for Sojourner. She stood up. Can you believe it, Thomas? She stood up. She stepped back from the back of that church to the front. She stormed past the stupidity of the men who had just spoken. Stupidity. Sojourner put one big, black, beautiful foot in front of the other, and she stumped on the floorboard of ignorance that were underneath. To her, the arguments made by the men were the beetles from her past. She couldn't wait to stump, stump, stump all over them. Whoa! Sojourner took each man's belief and slammed it down like a nail. Her first struck a hammer blow to the podium. Bam, she said. You say women need to be helped into carriages and lift over ditches? Nobody ever helped me into a carriage, and ain't I a woman. Bam! Down came Sojourner's hand. And a iron fist smashed the lies of the day. Bam! Bam! Look at me, Sojourner went on. I have plowed, and I have planted, and I have gathered into barns. No man could head me. And ain't I a woman? Now Sojourner was ready to preach her belief about the Bible meant to her. She spoke to the men who told of God's will. Where did your Christ come from? She asked from God. And a woman? Man had nothing to do with him. Then Sojourner talked all about Eve and the apple in the Garden of Eden, she said. If the first woman God ever made was strong enough to turn the world upside down all alone, then woman ought to be able to turn it back around and get it right. Down came both fists. Bam! Bam! Now when Sojourner was done, she told the congregation, now old Sojourner hadn't gone nothing more to say. And that was the truth. Sojourner had spoken the honest to goodness. She was ready to step, and step she did. Her size 12 hit their stride. Off she walked. Big, black, beautiful, true. And that was Sojourner. The end.
Wow. So powerful. I could just feel the strength of Sojourner.
She definitely was some woman, even with her size 12.
Someone who can create her own name and have her name become her, the truth.
I know, wasn't that? There was definitely a heavy price to pay.
Yes, it was.
Right. Freedom did not come easy.
Exactly. Making changes in your community, making changes within your home, it comes with a lot of work. It's not hard, but the reward in the end is so worth it.
It certainly was, and it's still worth it today. Even though everyone struggled, it made the grandpas, great-great-grandpas, great-great-grandmothers, a lot of people in the past, they would be very, very proud as they smile down and see the progress that has gone. We haven't stopped yet. We're still moving on.
Exactly.
And did you want to read or even play a song on freedom?
Oh, yes. The spirit of freedom? Is that what you're looking for, Abdul?
Right.
Oh, yes. This is The Spirit of Freedom by the Dawn Greeters.
About 1850 was the time. Sorrow was the only sign. Oh, nothing around to ease my mind. Out of the night, there come a lady leading a distant pilgrim band. First mate, she a pointing her hand. Make room on board for this young man. She said, come on up, I got a life.
Come on up to the street.
yes, boys and girls, freedom. It definitely puts you in the mood and you understand the struggle, the power behind all that hard work, the passion behind the hard work. Boys and girls, I would love to read you another book. This book is called The Freedom Ship by Doreen Rapper, who is the author, and Curtis James III.
Yeah, because it is real important, boys and girls, to know the foundation in order to know what your dreams are, to be Lula Diva, that there was first the people who had a dream who felt slavery was wrong, and then there was a war that fought in order to start the progress of freedom. And Starfish is going to read a little bit of that before we have to go.
All right. Boys and girls, freedom ship. I'm going to tell you a story, just the way I heard it. It was passed down in my family from my great-great-grandfather. His name was Samuel. I'm named after him. Great-great-grandfather Samuel and his father were born slaves. During the Civil War, Samuel's father worked on a Confederate steamer out of Charleston, South Carolina. The North and the South fought during the Civil War. The Northern states were called the Union. The Southern states were called the Confederacy. Great-great-grandfather was a little boy during that war, but he remembered it very, very well, especially what happened on May 13, 1862. Hold it! Move it! Hold it! Move it! I swabbed the deck and listened to the Abraham chant as the crew lugged another cannon onto the streamer, the planter. I don't know how they can carry such big, heavy things. Samuel, Papa calls. I drop my mop and run as fast as I can. Now, boys and girls, it's almost time for bed. Can we continue?
I hope so. I think we have a few minutes, and then we'll have to hear our song.
Oh, yes. We cannot end our Aunt Jewel's bedtime radio show by not playing our favorite song.
Right.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. I haven't seen Papa all afternoon. He's been with Robert the whole time. Robert's the real pilot of the ship, even though the captain calls a wheelman. You've been working real hard, Samuel, Robert says. Your papa thought you might like to look through these. He holds out his field glasses, and we walk out onto the deck. I wanted to grab the glasses, but I know Papa wouldn't like that, so I reach out real polite-like. The field glasses are magic. They make far away look very close. I look up at white, fluffy clouds, then down at seagulls swooping into the blue water. I see many Confederate ships in the harbor, too many to count. I see the big cannons on the Fort Sumter and on Sullivan Island, Beyond the forts, out in the Atlantic Ocean, are Union warships. If only we could get to them, we'd be free. Suddenly, Papa and Robert stiffen to attention. The captain and his officers are leaving the boat. Robert runs after them and salutes them. When they're out of sight, Abraham comes running. Captain, sure is mad at us, Abraham says. There's a big grin on Abraham's face. Says we all lazy and no good. He says those four cannons should have been loaded on the ship by now. And if they ain't, on by tomorrow morning, he's gonna whip us. Wow, boys and girls. Can we continue?
Mm-hmm.
Let's
yes.
listen to our favorite song.
Let's read maybe two more paragraphs, and then we'll listen to our favorite song.
Okay. Papa laughs. If we can catch us, she says. What do you mean, Papa? Nothing, son. Only joking. Papa is all business now. Go tell your mama I won't be coming home tonight. I have to guard the ship. Can I stay with y'all, Papa? Not tonight. There's no protesting. When Papa says no, it means no. Someone is tapping me on the shoulder. Samuel, get up. The lifting voice sounds like Mama, but I'm too sleepy to want to find out. The hand taps a little harder. I open my eyes. The room is pitch black. It's got to be the middle of the night. Samuel, put on your clothes real silent like, Mama says. Why? I ask. In between yawns. No question now. Just do as I say. I slip into my clothes. Mama folds my white bedsheets in half and then in half again, again and again until it's a small square. She slips it into a sack and opens the front door. The dark sky has only a sprinkling of stars. Mama looks both ways. I tug at her skirt. Where are we going? Hush, no more talking. You'll find out soon enough. Mama races ahead. It's hard keeping up with her. She seems to be flying, not walking. Footsteps coming fast behind us. Someone is trying to catch us. Please don't let it be the police. I'm sure Mama doesn't want to have to pass for us to be out. If the police find us out with no pass, they'll throw us in jail and tell Master Smith, who surely will whip us. The footsteps are on top of us now. Lavina, someone whisper, who is this person who knows Mama's name? Mama and I spin around to see who owns the whisper. It's Robert Small's wife, Hannah, and her two children. What are they doing out here in the middle of the night? What are we doing out here? Without saying a word, Mama takes Hannah's baby in her arms. She walks even faster, now down the street, towards Cooper River. A lantern is glowing on the deck of a small boat. Mama starts running. Miss Smalls runs after her, to the deck, to the dock, across a small plank. Onto a small merchant ship downstairs, the man whispers. The others are already here. In the dark cabin below, I count four other women. One is Abraham's wife. I don't know the other women, but Mama must because she hugs them all. Then she wraps her arms around me and whispers, soon we're gonna be free. Free? I want to ask Mama how. How? But something tells me she'd hush me. I feel the boat moving. It's leaving the dock. I want to ask Mama where it's going. But something tells me she would hush me too. The boat moves slowly through the water. It's no more than a few minutes later when the man from the dock sticks his head into the cabin. They're here, he says. Who are they? Again, no time for questions. Hurry, hurry. Up the stairs, to the dock. I see a rowboat coming toward us, closer and closer. It's Papa. Papa and Abraham. Gently, gently, Papa whispers as they step into the boat. Mama follows, then one by one, everyone else. The boat rocks back and forth with each new person stepping in. Papa dips the oar into the water. He pulls them hard, but there is no splashing, only the tiniest of ripples. Pull, pull, faster. We're heading out to the harbor. We glide along. soon we're alongside the planter. One by one, we jump onto the deck. Papa runs into the pillow house. I race after him. Abraham hoists the Confederate flag on one pole and states the flag and the state flag, the palmetto, on the other. Robert turns the wheel, and the planter creeps down the river. We pass another Confederate ship anchored in the harbor. Robert turns the wheel again. He's steering us back past Fort Sumter. And it's big cannons. Won't the guards wonder why we're moving and all other ships in this harbor are still? Wow, I cannot believe how this must feel. Robert tells Papa to take the wheel. He puts on the captain's jacket and his straw hat. He folds his arms across his chest and walks back and forth. He's not walking like the captain. He's pretending to be the captain. Can he really fool the soldiers? Toot, 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 toot. Papa signals the permission. I squeeze my eyelids as tight as I can. The sentry sounds the all clear. The planter picks up speed, and we surge past the fort, straight out forward toward the Atlantic Ocean, straight towards the Union warships. Suddenly, lights flash from Fort Mountaineer toward Fort Sumter, then from Sumter back to Charleston. They realize that we're heading toward the Union warships. Papa, they're going to shoot us. We're too far away for that to happen, son, he says confidently. But the Union ships will fire on us unless Papa raises the flagpole. He pulls hard on the ropes, holding up the Confederate flag. Down comes Abraham, takes down the palmetto. Suddenly, Mama is at Papa's side. She gives him a white bed sheet. He ties it to the flagpole. What are you doing, I ask. A white sheet means surrender. When the Union officers see it, they won't fire at us. Up and up. We pull the bed sheet. I wait for it to billow, but it just drops. Suddenly, the planter swings around as Robert steers into the wind. Very exciting, Aunt Jewel.
Very dangerous.
Exactly. The bedsheet flares out. Now we're moving full speed ahead, straight towards the Union ships. There are 10 Union ships. What's that noise? Drums. The Union sailors are beating drums. They're getting ready to shoot at us. Oh, no. Don't they see my white sheet? One of the Union ships moves out ahead of the others toward us. Closer and closer. I see its guns sticking out through the portholes. I open my mouth to shout, no, don't shoot, but no words come out.
Oh, wow.
I yell, the planter, out of the Charleston, come to join the Union fleet, and we've brought you Confederate cannons and a lot of ammunition. Hold your fire. At Union officer shout.
Oh, my goodness. And this might be where we have to hold our fire. But I think there's a few more, so we might as well go on and let's see what happens.
Yes, we cannot stop because we only have one more sentence. Here we go. Mama runs to Papa and me. They pressed me to them. Tears stream down their faces. We're now free. We're free, Samuel. We're free. Papa says, free, free. The word covers my tongue with happiness. The end.
Wow, they risked a lot.
Yes, they risked their lives, their entire lives. There's no turning back. Once they were full speed ahead on foot. Once they were full speed ahead on their boat, they could not turn back. They were on that train going to freedom.
And I guess this is where we're going to have to say goodnight to all the boys and girls for joining us. And so thank you so very, very much for Edna, because you know she's going to see the Oscars. So.
Oh, yes. She's definitely a special star in our eyes.
She is a little diva. And thank you, boys and girls, for listening to Black History Month, because it certainly was a struggle, but it was definitely worth it for freedom. So thank you for joining us, and we'll sign off with our song.
Yes, boys and girls, Just Like a Star by Corinne Bailey Ray.
Good night. I know that you're sleeping. Thank you, Starfish.
Just like an angel.
This is Blake Radio Network with Aunt
Jewel.
Bedtime Stories.
Just like a song in my heart, just like oil on my hands, only to love you. Still I wonder why it is I don't argue like this with anyone but you. Do it all the time.
Good night, Charmaine. Get better. Good night, CJ.
You
David.
Got this look I can't describe.
Good night.
You make me feel alive when everything
good night,
else
Renee. And happy birthday wish for Donna. Happy birthday.
Camera.
Erica.
Good
night, Starfish.
Good night.
You
know Papa's already closed off. Papa Roberts.
Sweet dreams, boys and girls.
Song in my heart, just like oil on my head.